of false prophets out there. There's a lot of false churches out there as well. And we need to be aware of what the Bible says, right? We need to know what God's Word says. We don't want to just take any man for what he says. We want to know what God says. All right? That's why we're here. We're not here to hear what some man has to say. We want to hear from God. So, hey, if you're here today, I hope you came because you want to hear from God. Right? When you come to church, you should want to hear from the Holy One. Amen? You know, you should have already have prepared your hearts before you came to church to hear from God's Word. Hey, if you roll out of bed on Sunday morning and come right into church, hey, you didn't prepare your hearts. You're not ready to hear what the Lord has to give you. Hey, if you haven't been praying on Monday and Tuesday and walking with the Lord and having a walk, hey, you're not ready to come to church on Wednesday and hear from the holy, righteous God who's on the throne. Okay, we got to prepare. It's about preparing our heart and mind. Yes, we come together and we fellowship before the service, and that is great. That is amazing. Praise the Lord for that. And we sing hymns, and those old hymns, they put our heart and mind, and they prepare our heart and mind to hear the preaching of the Word of God. But hey, don't let it just be an hour a week thing. All right, that's why we meet Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday night. Okay, that's why we meet. As much as we can meet, we want to meet. Right, we don't want to forsake the assembly. We want to meet because why? Because there's false gospels out there. There's false doctrines out there. We need to be aware. So we've been kind of looking at this, and I'm just going to start here reading in 2 John and begin reading here in verse number 6. And I got to finish up where we left off last week. So I'll finish off where we left off, and then I'll pick up for new here today. So 2 John, look there in verse 6. It says, "And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourself that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." You get that? You understand what he just says here? If you don't have the doctrine of Christ, you do not have God. You do not have the true God. And see, that's the problem with a lot of people in the world today. They've made up a God. They've made up in their own minds on who they think God is and who they think Jesus is. And He's not at all who they think that He is. And one day they're going to stand before that holy, righteous God and realize He was nowhere near what I thought He was. You see, He says here, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." You know, you have those Jehovah's false witnesses that go around and knock on your door. And when they come to your door, you go get your Bible and you read John chapter 1. And you read John chapter 1 and verse number 1 and 2. And then you get to verse number 3, right? And you really preach out of verse number 3, right? Because they don't believe that Jesus is the creator of all things. They don't believe that Jesus is God. But anyways, when they come to your house, you don't say, "Oh, have a good day." You don't bid them Godspeed. You don't say, hey, have a blessed day. No! They're spreading a false doctrine. What does it say? "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." You get that? You say, hey, have a good day. You say, God bless. You're partaker of his evil deeds. Spreading that false doctrine. So, hey, what we're looking at here is we're just going to continue what we looked at last week. And I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll get going on this. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word here today and preach from your word. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts here today. Everybody here today over the internet, Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts, Lord, and not let us leave the same way that we came in. Lord, maybe somebody here needs to be saved. I pray today will be that day, Lord. I do pray now you fill me with your spirit. I pray you give me your words, your boldness, and your spirit here today, and we give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now, if you would, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Let me just give you a quick breakdown of last week. So this is review. So last week we looked at how Satan counterfeits churches. Right? We looked at that, and we looked at how not every building with a steeple is a real church. A real church, a true church, is founded on Jesus Christ. He is the founder of the church. He is the head of the church. A true church is going to preach from the Word of God. They're going to stand on, "Thus saith the Lord." But Satan, he counterfeits churches. He wants them to resemble the world in their music, in their dress, in their entertainment. He wants to give them a watered-down gospel with no mention of sin and no mention of judgment and definitely no mention of hell. But churches that teach a partial truth mixed in with error, right? In John chapter 4 and verse 24, the Bible says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." But the thing of it is the longer the Lord tarries, the more Satan is going to counterfeit churches. Secondly, we looked at how Satan counterfeits Christians. Remember that in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." So we looked at that and how just because somebody claims to be a Christian doesn't mean they're a Christian. Somebody that claims to know the Lord Jesus Christ, claims to be born again, does not mean that they're born again, right? Titus 1:16 says, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work," reprobate, right? Real fruit from that saved individual is evidence in repentance, right? When I got saved out of the bars. I didn't stay there. Right? The Lord made me a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Right? I repented of my sins. I turned in my unbelief, and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That is a picture of salvation. But that saved person, he's going to have repentance. He's going to have fruit in his life. There's going to be a desire to come and meet up with the brethren. There's going to be a desire to come to church. There's going to be a love for the truth of God's Word. You know, God's Word convicts. God's Word convicts. The Bible says it convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, right? But the Bible tells us that's what the Word of God does. But counterfeit Christians, they may look right. They may talk right. They might even serve, but their heart's never been changed. They've never been born again. 2 Timothy 3:5, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away." You see, many people attend what they call churches all around the world. They say the right things. They know the language. But many in churches today have never truly repented. They've never truly been born again. Mark 1:15 is still a good Bible verse. It's still in my Bible. "Repent ye and believe the gospel." Believe the gospel. It's right there. Right there. You think about false Christians, counterfeit Christians. I think of Judas. I think of Judas Iscariot. He was one of the 12. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He performed miracles with Jesus, and nobody expected him, but he was a counterfeit. All along, he was a counterfeit. And you know what? Satan still counterfeits Christians and puts them in churches as counterfeit Christians. And thirdly, we looked at how Satan counterfeits preachers. Satan counterfeits preachers, and this is probably about where we left off in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and 15. It says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." You see, Satan has his own ministers. They look righteous. They look good from the outside. They sound really good. They sound holy. They stand behind pulpits on Sundays. But their preaching is all lies. They're preaching lies and they're leading souls to destruction. And Paul calls them here Satan's ministers. You see that? He doesn't call them God's ministers. He calls them Satan's ministers. Turning people away from true doctrine. Why is it people turn from doctrine? Why is it people turn from the truths of the Word of God? They don't like it. It's convicting, right? People don't want to hear the truth. It's hard to take. I remember, hey, it's hard to take. You're telling me I'm a sinner? It's hard to take. I'm a sinner? No, I'm not that bad. I'm pretty good. Remember, the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, we don't enjoy hearing that hey, there's nothing that I can do whatsoever on my own to become acceptable to God. The wages of sin is death. All my righteousness is as filthy rags. We don't like hearing that, do we? We don't like hearing this. We don't like hearing that Jesus is the only way to heaven. The world says, oh, there's all these different roads to heaven. There's all these different paths. You just come as you are, do as you wish, and you just be on the right road anyway. We all are going to get to heaven someday. But you know, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is it. So people don't like hearing the truth. Why? Because it convicts. It convicts. And so people turn from that sound doctrine because they don't want to hear the truth. Many of them do not agree with it. Many of them just don't want to be reminded of the truth. I've knocked on doors of many, many people and I've asked them, do they know where they'll spend eternity? Do you know what will happen when you go and take your last breath and you go out into eternity? And they'll just be like, no, man, I never even think about that. You know, I just working and, you know, I got this job. You know, I got me a girlfriend now and, you know, all these other things, right? But one day, boom, that old ticker stops a ticking and you go out into eternity and that's it. So what the warning is there. We must examine the doctrine. What do they say about Jesus? What do they say about salvation? What do they say about sin? A preacher from God will exalt Jesus Christ. He will lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. He will preach on those hard things. He will preach on repentance and turning away from your sin. Repent ye and believe the gospel. It's still there. It's still there in the Bible. But we need to be aware of all those preachers who never mention sin and they never mention repentance. They never mention the cross. And they, you know, they got these favorite preachers that they listen to on the radio or the TV. And they just, oh, he just makes my heart happy. Oh. Never any conviction, right? You see, if your favorite preacher always makes you feel good about yourself, something ain't right. If you're preaching the Word of God is going to convict. We're not to measure the sermons by how they sound, but how they line up with Scriptures. Right? We got to search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, okay? It's right there. Of many churches today, and you know, Satan comes along. If he's dressed right, he's in a suit and tie. He quotes some scripture. You know, Satan can quote some scripture. He can. He comes along and he's quoting scripture. He's smiling. He's awful friendly, right? How many of them are just gonna believe him? Why? Because we don't test what they say according to the scriptures, right? And so we hear, get your Bibles, open them. Write down the notes. Go home. Review your notes. Study it. Right? Make sure that I'm not talking doctrine. Making sure that I'm sticking to the book. Amen. You need a preacher that sticks to the book, that preaches the book, not some feelings or some, well, this is what I think type of thing. Right? No, I want to know what God says. Okay? Now, there's two basic types of false preachers. There's a sincere false preacher, and there's a satanic false preacher. If you would, turn over to Matthew chapter number 7. In Matthew chapter 7, let's just give you, I'll give you one verse here, but you can read Matthew 7, 22. Matthew 7, 22 here says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Hey, kind of sounds like Judas, doesn't it?
Sounds like that person, hey, look at all the preaching that I did. Look at all the good works that I did. Look at all these things that I did in your name. And you read verse 20, 23, right? Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you, okay? You see, there are ignorant, you can say ignorant, false preachers who have the best intentions but are still false. And I think about this. I think of Saul. I think of Saul of Tarsus, who had a zeal for God. Before he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, you know, he went around persecuting Christians. He held the coats of those that stoned Stephen. Yeah, Stephen, right? He held the coats of those that stoned Stephen, okay? And he went around arresting the Christians, having them tortured and beaten and put to death. He had a zeal for God, but he didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sincere in his actions, but nevertheless, he was a false... He was doing it for all the wrong reasons, right? He was a false preacher. Then there's also the satanic false preachers. If you look there in Matthew 7, verse 15... In verse 15, he says there, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They're wolves. They're wolves. Right? They look the part. Satan uses this false preacher to spread his doctrines. They have an intent inside. They're going about seeking whom he may devour. And so the warning is there, all right? And so here's what you got to get. The warning is there, so what do I do? Well, we got to be able to identify them. Right? We got to be able to identify these false preachers. And so look there in verse 20. In Matthew 7, verse 20, he says, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. By their fruit. We got to look at their fruit, all right? The Bible says that there's going to be fruit from a saved person. There's going to be fruit from a Christian. When you turn, you repent from your sins, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you get salvation, you get born again, the Holy Spirit of God comes in and indwells in you, and you're going to be a new person. There's something that's going to change. It may start out very, very slow, like for me and for many people, right? The changes are slow, but they're still there. We got to look at their fruit. And you also got to mark them and avoid them. So in Romans, if you turn over to Romans 16, Romans chapter 16, look there in verses 17 and 18. We got to be able to identify them, and then we got to mark them and avoid them. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18 here. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Get that? Mark them which cause divisions and offenses, and you might want to underline this, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. What are you talking about doctrine? The doctrine from the Word of God. The doctrines that the disciples had. The doctrines that they went into the ends of the world to preach. Those are the doctrines here that we have right here, complete in the King James Bible, right here. 66 books of it right here. Okay? Anything contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and right there, underline that, and avoid them. Mark them, avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. See, I'm not going to go yoke up and hang out with those Jehovah's false witness, right? I want to win them, yes. And if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get born again, hey, they'll change. But I'm not going to go hang out with them. Why? Because I'm going to mark them and avoid them. I got to look at their doctrine. I got to look at what they're speaking of. Is it contrary to the Word of God? Is it contrary to the clear Scriptures? And here's why. Because God will never operate contrary to the Word of God. He will never contradict His Word. You got to understand that. God still means the same thing in the New Testament that He spoke of in the Old Testament. All right? When God says it, He does not change. He does not change His mind. You and I, we change our mind how many hundred times a day? We change our mind. Always changing our mind. We change our mind with the wind and the all the time, but God doesn't change His mind.
And so as a Christian, we need to be able to recognize these false teachers. So how do we do that? You got to study the Bible. You got to study the Bible. You got to know the Bible. You got to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, He will teach you all things. In John chapter 16 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." When I got saved, I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything. I went to Bible college and didn't have a single verse memorized. But the Holy Spirit, getting in God's Word, was able to take God's Word and put it in my heart, and I was able to learn. He was able to teach me. He was able to teach me. But Isaiah 8:20 says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." We got to identify them. We got to mark them. We got to stay clear. We got to avoid them. Okay. So what is the authority? What is the authority in your life? If I come up to you and I ask you, what is the bottom line? What is the authority that you base your life on? The right answer should be the Word of God. It shouldn't be Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat or Fox News or the stock market or any of those other things out there. It should just be the Word of God, period. The Word of God is it. It is the authority in my life. The King James Bible is the final rule of authority in faith and practice. Hey, you want to know the truth? Do you turn the TV on to find the truth? You know, I got to tell you something. I hate to burst your bubble. Get ready for this. When you turn the news on, do you know that they're only feeding you what they want you to know? And most of it isn't true. It's true to somebody, but it's not truth. It's not truth. Right? So I hate to burst your bubble about the news. See, I remember back in the day, you know, I got to watch the news. I'm in the military. I got to be up to date with what's going on. But man, I don't watch that garbage anymore. It's no good. They just only tell you what they want you to know. God's Word is so much better. Instead of getting on the TV, just getting God's Word and just read some of the Psalms. Reading the Proverbs. Hey, read some of the Old Testament about David, the warrior he was, right? Read about Paul's missionary journeys. You know, Paul went through some things. You know, Paul went out and he just wanted to plant churches. Right? He wanted to go and he wanted to plant churches, and he would go to places and he would plant a church and he would stay there a little while and he would see people get saved and he would see people come and join the church and he would see the church grow, and then he would stay there a little while and then he'd go somewhere else and then he'd plant another church. He'd plant another church and he'd do the same thing. He'd preach the gospel, you know, and all of the while he was doing that, he wasn't like... It wasn't like a nice, sunny, bright days out. Everything wasn't just kumbaya. No, he was beaten, put in prison, left for dead. It was a hard life, right? We complain about the littlest things, but Paul went about, and he didn't care about those little things. He just kept his eyes on Jesus, and he pressed forward toward the mark, right? He pressed forward. He didn't quit. He said, man, we got to get the word out. We got to go into this whole world and preach the gospel. That's what he did. Until the very day that he died. He didn't quit. He was in prison. He didn't quit. He kept going, preaching the gospel. The King James Bible. Hey, we have this here today. Preserved the Word of God right here in English right here. Read it. It's good stuff. Read it. See, before I got saved, I didn't care much to read the Bible. But now I'd rather read the Bible than watch anything on TV. I don't know. But hey, you want to know the truth? Get in the Word of God. You want to be able to identify false preachers and teachers? Get in the Word of God and know the doctrines of the Word of God. Ephesians 4, if you could flip over to that there. Ephesians chapter 4. Why is this all important? Ephesians 4 and verse 14. Ephesians 4, verse 14 says, "Then we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine." You see, whenever you leave the King James Bible, and this is the problem with all the people who have the ESV and the NIV, whatever else you want to call it, they don't have any truth to stand on. Right? They're blown about by every little wind of doctrine. You stand firm on "Thus saith the Lord,"
you have a foundation. But if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Right? All these other people are being blown about with every wind of doctrine. They have nothing to stand on.
He says here, by the sleight of men, so men are leading them astray in cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Hey, the call is there not to be deceived. The warning is there not to be deceived. We have ample warning
that we should not be deceived in this life. Satan wants to deceive us. He is a counterfeiter. He counterfeits churches. He counterfeits Christians. He counterfeits preachers. And hey, you got to know the Word of God in order to combat that.
And so that was the end of last week. So now I'm going to move on to this week here. And I want to continue on looking here at this deception. Right? We're going to look here at the deception that has taken this world by storm. It's taken many churches by storm. And as we looked at in this last message, Satan is behind it. Satan is behind it. And so look here, you're in Ephesians. So look there in Ephesians chapter 4 and look at there in verse 4 through 6. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You notice that word one. He used that a lot. One. There's one. There's one. Right? But the world, the world religion, the religion of the world, the false teachers, the false prophets, they want to teach many. Right? Many different paths. But there's still only one God's Word. There's still only one way of salvation. There's still only one correct doctrine. There's only one heaven. There's only one hell. There's only one body in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there may be different denominations. There may be people that call themselves churches. That there are many different of those things. But not all are one. You understand that? Not all are one. When a person gets born again, they put their faith, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God puts him into his body, in the body of Christ. He gives them a new birth. He quickens him spiritually. He is born again, John chapter 1, John chapter 3. But God makes him a new creature. He is a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he puts the Holy Spirit in that believer. And that believer becomes the believer's body becomes the temple of God. Become the temple of God. We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. And we're going to bear fruit. Why? Because we have that Holy Spirit in us if we're truly born again. So, if there's no change, there's no Spirit, no Spirit, no salvation. Jesus warned us about being deceived. About being deceived. In Matthew 24, in verse 4, he says, take heed that no man deceive you. So, I want to talk to you about deceived. I want to see here that there has been deception all along. There's always been deception. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 14, I'm going to show you here that there was deception. First of all, here there was deception in heaven. In Isaiah chapter number 14, look here in verses 12 through 15, we're talking about Satan, O Lucifer. He says here in Isaiah 14:12, he says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart. Now I want you to notice how many times he used the word I will. He says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Five times he says, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. How many times is that our lingo? How many, if you stop and notice when you're talking, how many times are we saying I? Whatever it is, do we say I can't do this, or I won't do this, or I am going to do this?
But we're using the same phrase, the same lingo that Satan uses. I all the time. Pride. Right? What got him kicked out of? Pride. What gets us defeated? Pride. He must increase, but I must decrease. Pride. Five times. Satan was he was self-deceived, and he took down many angels with him. And verse 15 says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You see, we read Revelation. We know the end. We know the end. We know what's going to happen. But think about how strong that deception must have been to deceive those other angels that were in heaven, that had seen Jesus, that had seen everything in heaven, the splendors of heaven, they were in the very presence of God. But this deception, how strong it must have been, his pride, to deceive these people. There was deception in heaven. And I want you to see, secondly, there was deception in Adam's day. There was deception in Adam's day. If you turn over to Genesis chapter 3. And so, we're seeing here that there's always been deception. There's always been deceivers. There's always been... And now here in number two, there was deception in Adam's day. In Genesis chapter 3, and look there in verse number 1, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, and underline this if you don't have it underlined yet, yea, hath God said. You see, that's the same thing the devil's doing today. Yea, hath God said. He casts just a little bit of doubt upon the Word of God. You know, we didn't get from the King James Bible to the Living Bible, ESV, whatever, overnight. It was little changes at a time. Little changes that they made at a time. Yea, hath God said. Here in Genesis, he says, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. I mean, think about it. The earth was perfect. Adam and Eve are sinless right here. And here comes along Satan questioning God's Word. And all he had to do was cast just a little bit of doubt on God's Word. Just a little bit of doubt. All of the, all of those other versions out there change God's Word. You need to understand that. They change God's Word. They've removed God's Word. They've removed the deity of Jesus Christ. They removed the blood of Jesus Christ. They removed... They remove so many things in Jesus Christ, in the Bible. And here's the thing. When you change words, you change meanings. Right? They don't mean the same after you've altered them and changed them. You and I aren't smarter than God. We don't need to try to change God's Word. God meant what He said. He preserved it. He wrote what He said. He meant what He said. And that's what it is. Thus saith the Lord. Final. God said it. That settles it. Is that your motto there? If God says it, does that settle it for you? Or do we, well, you know, I don't quite see it like that, don't you? You know, what I was thinking is this. Yea, hath God said. Hey, Satan changed God's Word to deceive Eve. In verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So now Satan's calling God a liar. He's calling him a liar. You see that there? All these, the exact same things that all these other the perversions of the other Bibles are doing the same thing. They're changing God's Word. They're making Him out to be a liar. Remember, there's only one. There's only one. There's only one. You know what else He did here? It's interesting too, because He attacked the weaker vessel. He attacked the weaker vessel. He didn't go after Adam. He went after Eve. So it's another warning there. Hey, we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. We need to be watchful. Why? Because the devil's out there. Eve was in a place she shouldn't have been. She wasn't with her husband. She was off alone looking at that tree. Looking at that tree. Pondering on that tree. And then here comes along Satan. Right? We got to be careful because there's deception today. Hey, thirdly, if you look here in Deuteronomy chapter number 13, there was deception not only in heaven, not only in Adam's day, but there was deception in Moses' day. In Deuteronomy chapter number 13, look there in verse number 1.
Deuteronomy 13, look there, starting in verse number 1. And I'll read a few of these verses here. It says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. And that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. You see, the standard of truth isn't miracles. It's not miraculous signs. It's not miraculous works. It's not even predicting the future. It's not even that. The standard of truth is, as I've already said many times, it's God's perfect word. It's not the psychics. It's not the storytellers. It's not the fortune tellers, the palm readers, the astrologers, the psychiatrists. Whatever else there is out there, it's not of that. That is just all wickedness. Wickedness, all right? Though they may perform miracles, we can see from the Word of God that their performer of their power is through Satan. Satan can do miracles. Satan can do that. But hey, we need to be careful because we can be deceived. The time is... Hey, I believe, no doubt, that we're living in the last days, right? Paul believed he was living in the last days, right? We're 2,000 years down the road from him. I mean, this world is waxing worse and worse and worse. The false churches, the false preachers out there, those are the places where everybody seems to be flocking to, where there's no gospel preaching and all those other things aren't taking place there. But the true remnant... And as we studied a little bit of it, God had always had a true remnant of Bible believers on down the line. That small remnant of true Bible believers that meet, that come together, that are one accord, that love the brethren. That's my vision for Gilead Baptist Church. Right? That
one, we are one. We are a church. We unite to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have the same Father. Hey, if you don't have the same Father I do, then you need to be born again tonight. Amen. Christ paid it all on the cross. He died. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You got to believe He rose again the third day. He paid it all. You come to Him today, He'll give you forgiveness of sin. He'll give you a home in heaven. Oh, there's a mansion in heaven already waiting for you. He'll give you eternal life. Eternal life. You know what that means? It means it never ends. An eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, that day's a coming. He could come back right now. He could come back today. He could come back anytime. Hey, you understand, nothing needs to take place before He comes back. He could come back right now. But until He does, if He tarries a little longer, there's going to be some deception in the world. Now, I'll have to finish these up next week again. But there's going to be deception in the world. We got to be aware of what the Word of God says. We got to be able to mark them. We got to be able to identify the teachings that are contrary to the Word of God. We got to mark them, and we got to avoid them. So let's close right there.